What's up, guys? I'm Nobody Special, and we have a very special guest with us today, all the way from the home of alternative economics and contrarian views. Mario from Maneco 64 is with us. Mario, welcome back to the channel, sir. Thank you for joining us, and how are you doing today?
Thank you for inviting me again, Jack. I'm doing well, and I hope you're doing well, too.
I am doing well, and let me just say before we get into this, I mentioned this a couple times now since we've had you on, but I love having you on the channel because you were actually the first guest on my channel ever. And it was back when I only had a few hundred subscribers, a very small channel, and you were gracious enough to come and spend some time with us. So it just reminds me of that every time. Thank you for what you did and for helping my channel grow in the early days. I really do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So listen, the reason why I invited you on for this talk was I wanted to talk about what's shaping up to be something of a budget crisis in the UK with, you know, the constant push-pull of spending cuts versus taxation. And then I saw your morning update this morning from your channel, Maneco 64, which is excellent, by the way. Link down below, folks, should you feel so inclined. And you had a really good update, a very timely update today, just talking about the bond market in general. And so, you know, after I watched that a couple of minutes ago before we went live, I changed the whole scope of this interview. I want to zero in on that. I guess, could you talk to us in that talk this morning? You mentioned that we're headed for a new bond bear market. Could you talk a little bit about why you think we're heading there and what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I was warning back maybe a little early, but also in 2019, 2020, that the bond bull market was long in the tooth. It started back in 1981 when the 10-year yield topped above 15%. And in my opinion, that bull market is what drove and still driving to some extent the massive financialization of the U.S. economy, of the U.K. economy, the European economy. And it's allowed people, governments, corporations, all kinds of institutions to indebt themselves massively, because in a bond bull market, yields, they keep dropping. You know, they go up and down, but the highs are lower and the lowers are low, so people can refinance. Mortgages are cheap. House prices go up. Everything is like if you're sailing with the wind instead of against the wind. But I had some look at cycles, and there was a bull market from like 1920 to 1940 in bonds. So that was after World War One. Yields started going down, and then they dropped to like below 2% just around the beginning of World War II, 41, 42, when the U.S. got in. And of course, the Fed did yield curve control back then. They kept the 10-year yield low, but from 1940, 41 till 1981, that was 40 years, we had a bear market in bonds. And so that's why I thought that by 2020, 21, we're getting close to the end of the bull market, because 40 years. And I think the low for the 10-year yield in, I think it was March 2020, when we had the whole COVID crash, bonds were really volatile, but the 10-year yield dropped to 0.3. I think that was the low or the end of the bull market. And we've been in a bear market ever since. 2022 was especially pronounced, because not only bonds went down in price, but stocks. And that was something that hadn't happened in a very long time, I think. But ever since the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, the long-term yields in the US and the UK and Europe, they've stabilized. They kind of consolidated, but I think it's a consolidation in a bull market in yields, which is bad, of course. And I think we're just about very close to it going up again. And that's why Japan is so important, because Japan, I think what's happening now, to the long-term yields in Japan. They're really breaking out. And it's a little bit like Dow theory. If the transports are going down and the other indices are going up, eventually they catch up and there's a bear market. And I think in government bonds, it's the same thing. If Japanese yields start spiking up, eventually UK yields will follow, US, Europeans, because these markets are intertwined. International investors, they trade these bonds back and forth. They're pretty open markets. So, yeah, I think that's why Japan is so important. And as I said in my video this morning that, and you mentioned that before we started, that a lot of people in the markets, they've never seen a bond bear market. I haven't seen one either, because when I started the late 80s, we were already in the bull market. But I remember yields are still really high back then. We had like double-digit rates in Italy, UK rates. I even remember the 30-year bond being like 7 or 8%. So I kind of know that yields can go higher. But most people nowadays, younger people, think that if we have a recession, yields will drop back to zero and everything, you know, they'll do QE. But yesterday there was data from Japan, GDP, for the quarter ending September, and GDP shrunk by 1.8%. And as usual, the mainstream says it was unexpected, right? But and Japan, they've announced a huge program of stimulus. I think 70 odd trillion yen, which is like over $100 billion, which is huge for an economy that's not as big as the U.S. And yet today, Jack, the Japanese long-term government bonds dropped in price and the yields went up. So that's why I said, you know, this is a warning to bond investors in the West that just because they think there's going to be a recession in the UK or in the US doesn't mean to say that bond yields are going to go down. And even if they promise QE, they might promise QE to keep these yields down. But that in of itself, in my opinion, is not really good for bonds, because the currency will go down massively versus gold and silver, because investors know that it's not real. So if you're going to be getting, if they're able to drive yields down to like a 3.5 in the US or 3, I think bond investors are going to be losing out because inflation is going to be a lot higher. And and if you look at the price of bonds in terms of gold, they've been going down since the beginning of the century. Actually, there was a period where they didn't go anywhere from 2011 to 2022, 2023. So it's just a cycle. And I think the world needs it, because we've just been borrowing and spending beyond our means. Not just as individuals, but as governments and corporations and whatever else.
Now, what you just went through, Mario, I think is so important for people to understand, because I think there's so many people that are out there are going to say, oh, the last time they just did this and they printed money, or they just lowered rates. And I really think at risk of sounding cliche, it might be different this time. And I have this chart, and this is one of the reasons why I rejiggered this whole video after I saw your video this morning, is because I've actually had this chart for a while, and something like this came up on my Patreon Zoom earlier last week. What we're looking at is the United States 10-year bond yield, and this is going all the way back to the late 1930s. And I've put these red lines here to kind of denote the changes in the market. And, you know, we'll start here right around World War II, 1941. You know, we had a period of progressively higher and higher bond yields, which was a bond bear market. The value, remember, folks, interest rates and values of bonds are inversely correlated. If the yield is rising, the value of the bond is going down. And so for about 40 years, all the way through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and pretty much until the end of the inflation of the 1970s, we had a bond bear market. And the 1970s notwithstanding, this was a period of relative prosperity for the middle class. We had suburban sprawl here in the United States. The middle class was really the dominant demographic. And of course, then came the bond bull market. And keep in mind, this bond bull market, almost everybody alive in finance right now has only ever seen a bond bull market. And, you know, Mario, you mentioned that you got started in the early 80s. I mean, that's when I was born. It was in
1980s.
Late 80s. Okay.
Yeah.
I was still a toddler when you started. And, you know, you are far more experienced than most in this field. And even your vast experience has been entirely within this bond bull market. So everybody who's sitting here saying they know what's going to happen because of what they've seen in their experience, all of that experience is bound by this bond bull market. Lower yields, higher bond prices. And as you very astutely pointed out, Mario, with the VIG and COVID, we have now seen bonds start to move higher. And then you mentioned in 2022, we had that really bad bear market where bonds and stocks went down together. We've had a little bit of consolidation here, but it really does look like we are into now a 40-year cycle of higher rates. And I think a lot of people are going to be very immediately dismissive and say, well, we'll just print money, or the Fed will just lower. We're heading into an easing cycle. They're going to cut in December, as if to say, oh, they won't let this happen. But it may not really be up to them, right? Because things kind of changed in 2020 for whatever reason. They don't really control what happens on the long end of the yield curve, at least not directly. And they can't just arbitrarily print money and lower rates because it's going to break things elsewhere. Could you maybe explain a little bit about why the standard crisis response of the last 40 years might not work this time around?
Yeah, I guess it's because we're not in a bull market anymore, you know, and in the standard response worked because every time the central bank announced they're going to do QE or lower rates, people just went in and bought the bonds, bought stocks, and it worked. And inflation would stay, consumer price at least, would stay under control. But now it doesn't. And I think what happened in 2020-21 with all the money printing and the fact that they also closed the economies for a long time and gave free money for people to stay at home, that was kind of the trigger. But if it hadn't been that, something else would have changed the mood. So you can't, it's just a cycle. It's a bond bear market. And it's going to get harder and harder for people to borrow. It's going to get more and more expensive. And the flip side of that is the asset side of the loans. They're going to become worth less. And we saw in 2023, in the beginning of 2023, tail end of the bear market, the massive fall in government bonds that we saw in 2022, we saw that some like SVB and some of the banks collapsed because the bonds that they held, they were pricing it to like a maturity, but some of the depositors realized, wow, these bonds are worth only 60 cents to the dollar. I'm going to get my money out. And they panicked. That's the environment we're in. And yes, they could succeed to do a little bit of keep the yields under control for some months. But eventually the market wins out because, like you said, the longer end of the yield curve is much harder for the central bank to control. Back in 2024, I think September, that's when they cut rates, the Fed, for the first time in a while by 50 basis points. The 10-year yield was at 3.6%. And here we are right now, and they've cut several other times, and we're at 4.12. So, yeah, it's and the Japanese base rates are near zero or very near zero, but their long-term yields are approaching 4%, or 5% for the 40-year, 4% for the 30, and it's almost at 2% for the 10-year, which sounds very low, but back in 2022, they were near zero, the 10-year yield. So yeah, I think people, it's a little bit like, I do remember the early 80s. I wasn't in the markets, but I remember that most people expected inflation to continue, that things were never going to improve. And I think now it's the reverse of that, the inverse of that. Most people expect bonds to keep going up and rates to go down, but I think they're going to be wrong.
So do you think maybe what we're seeing with gold and silver, we've had a historic rally in metal prices for really the last year and a half. It stalled out a little bit right now for the last couple of days. What are metals telling us right now? Are they saying, okay, the crisis response from the central banks is going to be the same and it's not going to work? And that's why, is the market pre-positioning for that? Is that why we've seen this rally?
I think we're seeing this rally for a few reasons. The major one, I think, is because foreign central banks, especially the BRICS and Global South banks, they're trying to diversify away from U.S. treasuries because of the U.S. using it as a weapon, and also Europe using their government bonds as a weapon. They froze Russia's reserves. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is that I think foreigners know that what they saw in 2022, that the value of their treasury reserves went down the drain. So now they want something solid. So they're acquiring gold as the major reserve. Prior to 1971, that's what central banks held mostly, not government bonds, but gold. So and I think we're going back to that. I'm not saying we're going back to some kind of gold system, but they're just doing it de facto. And yeah, and I think they're going to be doing it with silver as well. We're hearing that some central banks now are buying silver. Saudi Arabia bought SLV a couple of months ago, quite a lot of SLV. And I'm hearing from my sources that they're starting to, some other central banks are buying physical silver. And India, I don't know if you heard recently, they're going to allow people and companies from April next year to collateralize their silver to get loans off it. So, yeah, I think that's what's happening. So if central banks, if they start holding less treasuries, less European government bonds, less gilts in the UK to buy gold, that's going to put pressure on interest rates. And I think the same thing's happening to investors. Even in the U.S., we saw recently that Morgan Stanley, they updated their benchmark weighting from 60% stocks and 40% bonds to 60-20-20, the new 20 being gold. So I think even Wall Street sees that it's a new world, so to speak.
You know, it's funny you should mention this 60-20-20, right? So where did they get the 20 that's going into gold? It came from the 40 in the traditional 60-40. So there's your bond bear market right there, right? One of the biggest investment banks in the world saying take half of what you'd normally put into bonds, sell the bonds and put it into gold. There's your bond bear market starting right there. And I've heard that from folks like Jeff Gundlach, guys like Ray Dalio have all come out with some pretty surprising suggestions for allocations to precious metals in recent weeks. And, you know, this it's died down a little bit in the last couple of days because we did see, you know, gold got to 4,000, silver got to 50, and now they're consolidating a little bit. But things got pretty hairy there for a while, especially in London. And another reason why I wanted to have you on in particular to talk about this is you're uniquely situated. You're in the UK and you're in the precious metal space. And we heard some crazy things coming out of London in September and October. about shortages, about LBMA vaults. There was some wild things going on with SLV and cost to borrow shares. What did you hear? Anything on the ground, given your geography, that maybe was it different than what they were telling in the press? Was it worse? Was it better? What were you hearing?
Well, I mean, on the ground, I mean, don't really hear much because it's a market that's quite international. So nothing different from what everyone's been hearing. But I think the LBMA, and I've spoken with David Jensen, who's a really great analyst about this. The LBMA is basically like COMEX. They're basically bucket shops where you can bet on the price of gold and silver. It's a price fixing. They're price fixing exchanges, not price discovery exchanges. They're not like the Chinese exchanges, like the Shanghai Gold Exchange or the Shanghai Futures Exchange, where you have to have the physical backing to trade the stuff. It's all done speculative. It's all based on paper. But now with foreign central banks wanting physical, it's getting more and more difficult for them to come up, because sometimes they do deliver. It's not totally a bucket shop, but now it's getting worse and worse. And we were saying earlier that before we started that, yeah, there's plenty of silver and even gold out there, so there shouldn't be any shortage. But what happens when people promise too much gold and silver and there's not enough of that in the vaults, in the LBMA vaults, then there's a problem. I mean, we saw beginning of January this year, towards the end of January, even the FT was reporting that the spot delivery for gold in the LBMA was delayed by 4 to 8 weeks. The Bank of England guy, one of the deputies there, said, oh, it's because gold is too heavy and we had problems transporting it, which is BS. What happened is that someone had an ounce of gold and promised to sell, to deliver 100, and never expected people to come and ask for delivery. But now, the world's changing with all the geopolitical mayhem and division in the world. Paper doesn't work as well because you can't trust anyone. So you want the physical. And I think that's the whole problem for COMEX and LBMA especially.
Yeah, I remember that episode. That was in the lead up to Liberation Day. I hate to use that phrase, but in the lead up to tariffs, there was a big question about tariffs on gold and silver bullion. And so a lot of people were bringing the metal from the LBMA to New York at an alarming rate. I remember the interview with the LBMA executive, or maybe he was from the BOE, but I remember he said, oh, yes, I came to work. There was a lorry in the bullion yard. That was his
expression. The Bank of England guy, yeah.
Yeah. And then we saw a very abrupt reversal back in October, because then all of a sudden we have the shortage developing in London, largely because of that flow of metal from London to New York. And then we had a huge move of metal that was taken off the COMEX, sent back to London, along with a lot of metal from Shanghai and elsewhere, in order to relieve the shortage. So, you know, the volatility, I guess, is where I'm going with this. Geographic silver volatility, where, you know, we had these big disconnects between the location of the metal. And I think silver's probably more vulnerable to that. You mentioned gold is heavy. Well, silver's even heavier on a value basis. So it took a pretty wild disconnect in the price to get that metal to move across the pond. And even now we're seeing a little bit of that backwardation, for lack of a better word, with the New York price, a couple of cents still above the New York price. So, it's been very interesting to watch. And I do think ultimately this breakdown in the global order and this long-term bond bear market that we're heading into is largely responsible for some of that volatility as people reallocate their positioning. Now, you mentioned Japan a lot in your update this morning, and you even touched on it a few times. I want to share a chart with you here. We're looking at the chart of the Japan 10-year government bond yield, the 10-year JGB. And, I mean, this thing hung out at nothing point nothing for years. And then
even went negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's zero right here. And I'll draw a little circle around it. There's your, there's your negative yields there in 2020.
Yeah. You know, in 2019, it wasn't just Japan, but a lot of European government bonds were, they had negative yields. I think it was a total of, if I'm not mistaken, 17 trillion. So, and countries like Austria were issuing 100-year government bonds. Can you imagine the people that bought that? You know, they're sitting on huge losses, the banks and insurance companies and pensions.
Can you? I'm going to borrow I'm going to borrow money from you for 100 years, and you're going to pay me for the service. And people were like, "Yeah, I can't believe we have inflation all of a sudden." Of course, you're going to get inflation in that environment.
And the reason people were buying those things that had negative yield is because they expected the yields to keep going down and more into negative territory. And when that happens, the price of these long-term bonds go parabolic. So it was more like they're not really buying for the fixed income. They're buying for the capital appreciation. But now that's all reversed. And that's why I think this is huge.
Yeah. And, you know, you can see it reversing here, right? Ever since the bond bear market started, we've seen long-term borrowing costs in Japan just going pretty much up and to the right here. Now, Japan plays a disproportionate role in this because they've really been kind of the source of capital for this giant speculative everything bubble that we've seen around the world, right? And as these Japanese borrowing costs are rising, what does it do to that?
Well, it's gonna shrink the amount of capital out there. It's the so-called yen carry trade will be no more. That's been a big part of the liquidity that speculators, investors, and other people in the West throughout the world have used to buy higher yielding assets.
And, you know, now we've got Sanae Takaichi has recently been elected in Japan, and she's very much a money printer, a monetary dove, if you will. You mentioned earlier Japan's rolling out stimulus. And typically when you see easy monetary policy like that, you see yields going lower. That's not what happened since Takaichi was elected, was it? The market is rejecting that stimulus and saying, I want a higher yield to loan you money if you're going to do more of this monetary nonsense that got us here in the first place.
That's right. And Japanese CPI as well. We've always been told that the danger in Japan is deflation. And by deflation, they mean a negative CPI. But I looked at it recently, and it's been kind of between 2 and 4% this year, which is quite high. So 10 investors in the 10-year JGB, they're losing out. They're getting a negative return right now. And that's probably why it's going to go a lot higher. The 10-year yield, and in the West, our CPIs have been doctored. They doctored it here in the UK in the summer of 2022. I did a few videos about it. They lopped off like a percent off the CPI, and I'm sure they're doing the same in the US. And I heard that the statistics that are coming out this week after the federal government shutdown in the US, they're not going to be like normal statistics. So you can bet they have a problem, and they're just trying to, I think, cover it up. And did you see as well, now there's all this talk in the US about an affordability crisis. But what that's just a euphemism, Jack, for inflation, really. Because what did you expect when you passed this big, beautiful bill that's going to keep deficit spending at 5 to 7% in the next few years? And and you're calling for lower rates as well from the Fed. Yeah, you're going to get a higher cost of living. You're going to get a debased dollar. And so I think Thomas Massie was right about it. And now, they're trying to say, oh, we're going to do something about it. It's an affordability crisis. But I can tell you that the more they do to try to manipulate inflation lower, the worse it's going to get. Richard Nixon tried it in the 70s when they had inflation. He put price controls and everything, and things only got worse.
Yeah, we're talking about $2,000 stimulus checks here in the States. They're calling it tariff rebates. It's helicopter money because we're still operating at a deficit, so it's going to be borrowed money. And they're talking about 50-year mortgages here in the United States now, which is just another form of lowering interest rates. So, you know, yeah, the affordability crisis largely because Republicans got their clock cleans in statewide elections during the off years a few weeks ago here. And so now they're paying attention to the plight of the common man, as they pretend to do every now and then. But their answer is the same. They're doing the same things that they've done for the last 40 years. They're still fighting this war with the last war's playbook, as to borrow the military term. And it is, you know, becoming a crisis here in the States. And you touched on negative real yields. That's one of the things contributing to it, because the governments are insolvent. And they can't allow free market price discovery in the bond market. So they're using central banks and all kinds of things like treasury buybacks to manipulate long-term interest rates, or at least attempt to keep them from rising faster. And that's causing a situation where if you lend money to the government by buying a bond, the interest you're receiving is less than the rate of inflation, which makes it a lousy investment, which is why Morgan Stanley is saying buy gold at 20% of your portfolio, and why Dalio and Gundlach are saying get into gold versus bonds, because they know these bond yields are going to be not keeping up with inflation here. So all contributing to the rise in metals. Now you're having a similar situation, maybe even an emerging crisis, if you will, in the UK. I want to just do a real quick recent history lesson for people. In 2022, you had the gilt crisis around October. And Prime Minister Liz Truss didn't last very long. She came out, you know, the UK was operating at a big deficit. You had high inflation. And she says, we're going to lower taxes, which means if we're going to lower taxes but not cut spending, it means we're going to borrow more. And the bond market said, we want a much higher interest rate if you're going to do that. And that caused all kinds of problems in the UK's pension system. She was forced to backtrack, and she was out of there in a span of weeks. Now we've got Rachel Reeves is in Liz Truss's position, and it looks like Rachel Reeves is setting up to get Liz Truss here, because earlier this year, they were talking about cutting spending. That failed. Now they're talking about raising taxes. That's already not going over well. I've read about a flight of wealth out of the UK, millionaires leaving, and luxury homes in London losing value because of it. What do you see happening in the UK now? Is the UK steamrolling towards another gilt crisis here, or do you think they'll be able to sort this out?
Well, Liz Truss and her chancellor, he was called Kwasi Kwarteng, so they promised tax cuts, and they also promised to cut the size of government, but yeah, they didn't increase taxes, and the markets didn't react very well. And I think the establishment, the Bank of England, didn't like her policy. So I think they kind of pushed the market lower too. Now we've got a completely different animal in Liz Truss. Not Liz Truss, sorry, Rachel Reeves, who's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. She believes that big government and public spending are the way to get the economy growing. She doesn't believe in free markets. And unfortunately for her and for the whole country, her backbenchers, the support of her government are very lefty, and they don't want to see, they want to see more borrowing. They want to see more public sector spending, and they don't want to see higher taxes. So last Friday, they backtracked on a promise to raise the basic rate of income tax from 20% to 22%, because that would have helped fill her budget hole. And the next, actually it was Thursday night, and on Friday, the 10-year gilt yield went up 10, 12 basis points, which is quite a lot in one day. They've stabilized now, but I think it's not out of the woods yet, the gilt market, because bond investors, or the bond vigilantes who had been let's say, sleeping for a few decades, they're coming back alive, and they don't like this. So it's going to be very important, the budget announcement, which will be made on the 26th. And my gut feeling is that we could see on that chart there, we could see the yields can break through those highs that we've had. You know, it's been kind of like a ceiling there, but I think we're about to do a Japan there. And you can see that the rates are actually pretty much where they were after the Liz Truss quartet crisis. So it hasn't really improved that much. They're really, I think the Bank of England, they're fighting tooth and nail to keep that under control. They're like probably begging insurance companies, pension funds. They're saying, you know, if you start selling gilts, you're going to be in trouble too. I have a feeling we might see not QE again in the UK very soon, because they're going to have to step in to help this market. And if they do that, of course, the price of gold in pounds will go through the roof. And everything seems to go back to gold, because even treasuries, if they do well, if yields go down for a while, if you look at in gold terms or real money terms, it's not doing well. So I think that's the big takeaway from all this.
Yeah. So, you know, just to refresh, or so everybody can follow on the chart here, you know, this is Mario's bond bear market playing out, right? You're 2020, 2021 over here, where rates hit their lows. We had the gilt crisis with Liz Truss in September, October of 2022. The Bank of England came in with not QE, basically printed money in order to monetize the debt, to buy up those bonds, to raise their prices and bring the interest rate back down. It was a Band-Aid solution. Rates rose back up from there. And now we've been sitting here for pretty much a year and a half, 2 years, right flirting with this level around 4.5 to 4.8. And I agree, Mario. I think this is just a consolidation period here. And I think once we break through this resistance level, I've drawn a line just arbitrarily around 4.8. But I agree, it looks like we're heading sharply higher. And, you know, you've got Rachel Reeves who said, we don't want to cut spending, we want to increase spending. Okay, then that's cost money. Where is it going to come from? She said, we're going to raise taxes. And then people didn't like that. So, okay, we're not going to raise taxes. Well, then where's the money going to come from? They're going to borrow it, which means they're going to issue more gilts.
Yeah, and they're going to come. I mean, the raising the basic rate of income tax would have been really like easy to do, and they would get the revenue. She's going to come out with what they call a smorgasbord of different tax rises and maybe changing the tax thresholds. But I don't think they'll raise as much as they would have by raising the basic rate of income tax. And I think that's what the market is worried about. It's all going to hinge on Wednesday's. She's going to stand before Parliament for about an hour and give her plan out to the world.
So watch those long-term gilt yields on Wednesday next week when Rachel Reeves makes that announcement, I guess, is the big thing to watch. But it seems like no matter where we go, Trump here in the States, Takaichi in Japan, Reeves in the UK, print, borrow, and spend still seems the law of the land. That means negative real yields. It means bonds probably going to keep going lower, yields going to keep going higher, and it means gold is going to go higher faster than that. So no matter where you are in the world, it seems like that's just the way of things. And I really enjoyed your update this morning. I think it was very timely. And I hate to say it, but this is a case where I think the whole world is wrong and Mario is right. You know, everybody's saying, no, they're going to lower and yields are going to go lower and you want to be in bonds during a recession. This time around, I don't think that playbook of the last 40 years is going to work. I think we're back towards where we were more after World War II, where we're looking at steadily rising interest rates for the next several decades. Well, Mario, I want to thank you very much for your time. This has been a very interesting conversation. Again, an excellent update this morning. I had to change the whole interview based on that. But I really enjoyed our talk. Thank you again for all the help you gave me in the early days of my channel. Folks, that's Mario from Maneco 64. He is one of the OGs of the precious metal movement on YouTube. Fantastic channel. One of my regulars. I'm going to put links to that down below. I highly recommend that. Mario, any parting words of wisdom for folks as we head into the close here?
Don't be scared of what's happening, because I think things are going to get pretty wild, but it's just the monetary system. And that is a human construct. It's not like the whole world's falling apart, nature and stuff. Yeah, I think things will, the ship will, yeah, we'll be righted, but we are going through a critical time, I think, but don't despair. That's what I meant, I guess.
Excellent advice. We've been through these transitions before. They're not always fun. They're never dull, but the world's going to keep on spinning and we'll still be on it at the end of the day. Wise words as always, Mario. Thank you again for your time. Folks, check out Maneco 64, link down in the description. Everybody else, until next time, live small and dream big.